Hey, back, folks. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. And it's 22 May, 2020. So this morning we talked a little bit about violence. And again, I think we need to continue on. And when I first started writing about this, this is part of what I began with was this. How does violence start? How does violence start? It rarely starts when a man just walks up out of the blue and conks you over the head with a baseball bat. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. But that's not very intelligent. And I would say that our enemies are highly intelligent, highly motivated. They study. They study strategy. They study tactics. They know how to do things. And whether this is an individual enemy, an enemy of your church, an enemy of your race, an enemy of your nation. They're sophisticated. They've studied. They know how this stuff works. And let me give you an example of how this works. They generally don't walk up to you and, again, smack you over the head. What they do is put you in a position to force you to react. And then they point the finger and say, see, he's a bad man. He did an evil deed. And they set you up. I can give you examples from U.S. history, which I'm probably most familiar with. You've heard of false flag incidents. Doesn't have to be a false flag. It could be very real. So you push a man or a country into a corner far enough, and they either overreact or lash out and strike. And the bully says, see that? He did a no-no, and now I'm going to whack him, and I'm going to get permission to do that. And that's how you do it. And you win the PR battle, and that's what we're up against. You've all seen scenarios where the police come and arrest somebody, and then they get a little aggressive, and the guy's trying to defend himself, and then the police say he's resisting arrest, and next thing you know, the guy is. In the hospital or choked to death or something like that. That's kind of how it works. And I think, I was listening to one of my podcasts this morning, somebody else's podcast, not mine, and they were talking about how they think that the globalists want to have civil war in the U.S. so they completely take over. And again, this goes right into the heart of what I'm saying. If you force a situation, then your reaction becomes justified. So if you push a people so hard that they finally snap and break and actually defend themselves, then they can stand up and say, aha, see? We told you they were Nazis and racist and violent and domestic terrorists, and now we're going to go in there and crush them. We're going to close their organizations, we're going to arrest their leaders, and we're certainly going to take away their guns. This is how it works. Guys, it's not sophisticated. It's a known tactic. It's a known strategy. The farther they can push and the closer they can get a true violent reaction out of their enemies, the more they can justify a complete tyranny and crackdown. And we need to be smart about that. And one of the key ways of being smart about that is we need to figure out who we are. They know who they are. They've got their racial groups, their racial identity groups, and they've got their political groups. And their political groups love to hate on white Christians by calling us Nazis and white supremacists and fascists and all that kind of stuff. If you haven't understood this, it's either because you haven't been paying attention or you've tried to position yourself so close to them that you tell yourself you're not really white and you're not really one of those kind of Christians. And, you've already lost and they've already won. That's the ultimate way to win. You win without even fighting a battle. China, as Sun Tzu wrote about that. The best way to win a war is not even go to war. You get people to surrender and they don't even know it. And most of the Christian churches surrendered and they don't even recognize it. They think they're good Christians and all they've done is surrendered. Go read your Bible. Oh, this is rich. I could go on for hours on how politically incorrect the Bible is, whether it's the Hebrew scriptures or the Greek scriptures. I could go on for hours. I could go on for days. I go on for weeks. And you see the Jews, the Jewish leaders, trying to murder Jesus Christ over and over. It talks about how they wanted to lay hands on him, how they wanted to seize him, how they wanted to kill him. And Jesus Christ calls them, "You are children of the serpent. You're a brood of vipers." And that goes right back to Genesis, where the serpent comes out. And he's the enemy of mankind. And Jesus says, "You're the sons of the serpent. You're the offspring of the serpent. You are a brood of vipers." And the Bible talks about how the serpent in Genesis, he was subtle. And in Matthew, in the Gospels, it talks about how the Jews, with subtlety, wanted to trap Jesus Christ in his word so they could kill him. And they did. They killed him. And over, again, you can read in the group scriptures how the Jews killed Jesus Christ. And then you go forward, march right on through the book of Acts, march right on into the revelation of Jesus Christ, the book of Revelation. And it talks about those Jews who were not Jews at all, but are of the synagogue of Satan. And, you know, oh, anti-Semitism. Fritz is an anti-Semite. Hey, man, just reading you what the Bible says. So if you are a Christian, you need to go back and read your Bible. You need to read it very closely and figure out where in there that you have agreement with the sons of the, with the seed of the serpent. Where in there do you find yourself politically correct? And the only way you can do that is abandon most of what the scriptures say. You have to abandon it. You have to turn your back on it and walk away. That's the kind of Christian they like. That's the kind of Christian church they want. They want the first church of the lesbians. They want the first church of the transsexuals. They want the rainbow church that abandons Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He is in the Father, and the Father is in him. And no man goes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. No man goes to God except through Jesus Christ. None. Well, you're being exclusive. You're being intolerant. You're not being diverse. Fine. And he says, "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." And if you reject the Son, if you reject Jesus Christ, you reject God. Where does that leave the Muslim? Where does that leave the Jew? So get over this idea that somehow you can fit into their politically correct moral guidance, their precepts of men. You cannot. And so you've already violated all those. You've proven to them sufficiently, if you adhere to the scriptures as I do, that you are an irredeemable, a deplorable. You've already proven to them, and they're setting you up for slaughter. They're setting you up for slaughter. Whether it's re-education camps, which they're already doing through public schools, whether it's a loss of a job, loss of an educational opportunity. In many countries, saying the things that you find in the Bible, they're illegal. They're illegal. Canada, you can get arrested as a pastor for saying certain things that are orthodox Christianity. So, I guess the long and the short of it is, if you don't understand the corner you're in, you haven't been paying attention. Or you've tried to position yourself to be so acceptable to your enemies that you're basically on their side. And it's time that you woke up, especially Christians. They don't want to be your friend. They don't want to continue to extract rent from you because you're guilty of some sin. You're guilty of some sin called racism or sexism or homophobia. And you're guilty. And they're going to use that cudgel over you until there's nothing left to take. And enough of that nonsense. You've got to stand up and you've got to fight. You've got to be proud. You've got to know who you are. And you've got to be proud of who you are. And again, I'll go back to Jesus Christ. He excoriated the Jews. He says, "Why do you invent these man-made rules? You abandon the law of God for your man-made rules." The Bible says, "Honor your father and mother." This is exactly what he said to the Jews. He says, "Honor your father and mother." But you tear that down and set up these other rules. And I'd say to you, white people, why is it that you abandon your father and mother? Why is it that you're ashamed of your father and mother? Why do you call them racists now and set up these other little rules that were never rules in the first place? You need to honor your father and mother. You need to be proud sons and daughters of your ancestors. And you need to raise up your children to be proud and to carry on the traditions and the values and the bloodline of your ancestors. Don't ever be ashamed of that. Don't ever apologize for that. Don't. And as you do that, you need to go back to the God of your fathers. The cross of Jesus Christ adorns the flags of your fathers. You need to go back to Jesus Christ and worship him. He is the author of your salvation. He is the one that created your nation unique and special. Don't ever bow down to them and apologize and say we're not going to be a people anymore. Don't ever do that. They're not doing that. They're going to be their racial group, and they're going to be proud, and they're going to be defensive, and they will oppose every other racial group out there. The Jews are the greatest example of that. The Jews are the perfect example of that. They've got their own ethnic nation state. They've written it into law that they're an ethnic nation state for Jews. And they have their defensive organizations. Their defensive organizations are very active and powerful in the United States, and they excoriate people for doing what they do. They will excoriate the white people for banding together as whites, yet they demand the right not only to band together as Jews, but to have their own nation state. But God forbid that white people do that. Oh yeah, I'm going there. And they have an organization called the Anti-Defamation League, and the project of the Anti-Defamation League is to defame people. It's to defame people for doing the very same things they're doing. They want their own ethnic nation state. They have their own ethnic nation state. And now their goal is to defame and criticize anybody that would dare raise a finger or a voice against the Jewish people. Why can't white people do that? In fact, you don't even have to be against the Jews. You just have to be for yourself if you're a white person. And they will come after you and call you a racist and a Nazi. How's that for hypocrisy? How's that? Okay, break. You've got tyrants and dictators that are trampling all over the one agreed upon law that we have in this land called the Constitution of the United States. And if they can't agree to the Constitution of the United States, hey, time to go our separate ways, man. Time to go our separate ways. If you can't agree to that, what do we have in common? Certainly isn't race anymore. Certainly isn't religion. Christianity has been trampled under the feet of men, mostly by the fall of the church, but certainly by our enemies too. What do we have in common? What do I have in common with the Muslims in Detroit? What do I have in common with in a lot of inner cities? I mean, let's just forget our common humanity for a minute and get to reality. I walk down some areas of town and I stick out like a sore thumb. I don't belong there. I don't. They're not my people. I'm not theirs. And you say, well, we're all Americans. Right. Keep saying that. Keep believing in that fiction. They don't believe in it. That's why they have the racial organizations. That's why they have Black Lives Matter. That's why they have the race, la raza, the race. Because they're loyal to their race above all else. That's why they have Mecha, the student movement to set up the Chicano state of Aztlan, a racially homogenous and linguistically homogenous Hispanic state in the southwestern United States, which is basically the portions of the U.S. that used to belong to Mexico. And why is it only the white people can't do that? Why is that? Why can the Jews do that and have their own nation state? Why can't everybody but the white people do that? And, figure out who you are, white man. Who are you? And I would, if you think you're one with this multicultural experiment, I don't know what to tell you. But you need to really think through that. And if you're a white Christian, even more so. So it's time to wake up. Figure out who your people are. Figure out that you're loyal to Jesus Christ. Go read your Bible. Go see how obnoxious that Bible is to the politically correct culture that's taken over your schools and your universities and your workplace. You can't even talk about the Bible where you work and where you go to school. It's illegal if you haven't noticed that. You're violating every EEOC principle out there. Violating them. Forget freedom of speech. You can't say what's in the Bible without risking losing your job or your educational opportunities. You can't do it. You can't say that without violence. Look at the universities where you get riots and violence and burnings because you had somebody dare come in that wasn't politically correct. Go read your Bible and see how politically incorrect it is. It's time to rise up. It's time to, throw off these blinders. Stop pretending that somehow this is all going to work out. It's not going to work out. It hasn't worked out, and it's going to keep going in the wrong direction. And the only way you're going to survive is if you realize this, and if you wake up and you say, you know what, who am I? Who am I, and what matters? And it's blood and faith. At the end of the day, it's blood and faith. Your ancestors matter. Your children matter. Your family, your bloodline matters, and your faith in Jesus Christ matters. You must cling to these things, and you must identify as that, and then you have a fighting chance. If you don't, you're going to be wiped away. And that's what they want. That's why they want every other ethnic group and religious group to have their identity politics and movements. But God forbid that Christians demand that the Ten Commandments go on the walls of the schools. God forbid that white people band together and say, I'm white and I'm proud. God forbid. No, then you're a Nazi. Then you're a Nazi and a fascist and a racist. But all those other peoples can do the same thing. So it's all coming together. It's all coming to a head. To pretend otherwise is to live in a fantasy world. And I'm done with that. I've stopped living in this fantasy world. And I suggest you do the same. Now, how can we respond to this practically? Well, first of all, you got to tear off the blinders of your own eyes. You've got to realize what's going on. You have to admit it. You've got to admit what's going on, and you have to realize that all these special words are just words to beat you down. They're the whips when they call you all these special names. I've written about that quite a bit. You can go back and read that. The second thing that I would call for, I don't like the term civil disobedience. I'm calling for constitutional obedience. I want constitutional obedience. I want you to support and protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And we can start with the Bill of Rights. We can start with the First Amendment. You have a right to speak freely. You have a right to assemble freely. I want a million points of light out there. I'm just some dude with a microphone, man. I'm nobody special. I'm some just guy with a microphone that's going to speak my piece, and I won't be quiet anymore. I won't shut up. I won't turn aside. I won't walk away. I will speak my piece. And I want a million other people, just normal Joes, doing this. I'm going to put a list accompanying this post that it's going to list, I don't know, three or four podcasts. These are ordinary Joes. These are dudes that just woke up one day and decide, you know what? I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to be quiet anymore. I'm going to speak my piece. And they're not rich. They're not famous, but they decide they're going to make a difference. I want a million of them. I want a million in your city. I want people to start up their own blogs. Don't wait for your leader to do it. Don't wait for your pastor to do it. Don't wait for a church project to do it. Don't wait for your local political group to do it. You do it. You do it. You start speaking. You start writing. And be bold. Stop worrying about what they're going to say about you. They already hate you. They already hate you. And the only reason you've avoided any trouble with them is because you've been a good little obedient little guy and kept your freaking mouth shut. All right, that's it. That's the only reason you've avoided their fire. Stop that. Open up your mouth and speak.